You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What a world! Welcome now to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB, and from Radio's your humble host, on The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, October 14th, 2021. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy, and I trust that you are very, very excited. Because life is good right now if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. And if you're not a Dallas Cowboys fan, I have no idea how you stumbled your way over here. But welcome. This is Blogging the Boys. Subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast network. Leave a rating, write a review. By the way, we actually do have a contest going on over on our Twitter account. If you have a Twitter and you want to participate, you want to win something, head on over to the Blogging the Boys Twitter account. We have a tweet that went out on Wednesday with a photo of a High Step Zeke shirt that our friends at Breaking Tee made. We are giving away three of them. Three random winners, of course. And all you have to do to enter is reply to the tweet with a screenshot that shows that you have subscribed to the Blogging the Boys podcast network. Wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple devices, Spotify, something else, but just take a screenshot that shows proof that you have subscribed. Go reply to that tweet and you will be entered. We will announce the winners in a thread on that thread or in a tweet on that thread on Friday. So congratulations to our winners, whoever you are, when you get your shirt or get your notification that you won. Good luck if you have not found out yet, you know, kind of talking to people in different times here. That's the way podcasts tend to work. And this podcast today, I feel so good to be back kind of in the normal podcast rhythm with the Ocho in this spot now that we talked about last week. But this week I went into it completely fresh. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sitting here with the microphone, didn't have any notes because that's kind of how I feel right now. I don't feel like a blank slate or anything, but I mentioned, you got to be feeling good if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. And that's the thing. Like, we're just like in this state. You know what I mean? And I just kind of want to live in this state and figure out how nervous I am about it, right? Like, how excited I am about it. And I think that that's where we're at as Dallas Cowboys fans. We don't know, right? You know, we want to be excited. And it doesn't feel to me like 2016. 2016 had this just like air of excitement. It kind of felt like we were playing with house money every week, every week, every week. You know, win, all the way through the 11-game winning streak, and then the loss that, you know, everybody freaked out about and everything. And even 2018 had like a microscopic version of that. You know, I remember that season, and I've mentioned this several times in the years since, but the Dallas Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper on October 22nd. We're coming up on the three-year anniversary of that next Friday. And Tony Casillas and I on the 750, that was our first season doing the show together. You can hear that show here on our network on Tuesdays. And we looked at their upcoming schedule. They had the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football because they were on their bye at the time. And we thought they would win that game, actually, and they lost. They lost rather handily. You'll recall that Cole Beasley threw a pass at the end. It was a big old mess. But then they had a five-game stretch that looked really, really, really tough. They had to play the Atlanta Falcons, who at the time looked really good. Shout out to Dan Quinn. They had been a playoff team the year before. They'd even won a playoff game the year before. Then they had to go to Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football, and that was the season that the Philadelphia Eagles were reigning Super Bowl champions. Then they had to play the Washington football team on Thanksgiving Day. Then they had to host the New Orleans Saints, who were on fire, you know, because this era of Saints is now kind of starting to come to an end, but it was really at its peak. You know, Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore, everything was really moving for the Saints at that point in time. And then after that, you know, they had the little mini bye, but they hosted the Philadelphia Eagles. And Tony and I remember we said, man, they're going to lose all five of these games. They're going to lose all five of these games. They lost to the Titans. They fell to 3-5, and then they ripped off all five in a row and got all five wins to get to 8-5 and effectively win the NFC East. They lost to Indianapolis the next week, and my dad and I were actually at that game. Still had a great time. Then they won it the following week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that little run, my point that, you know, I started this with, that little five-game run felt a lot like 2016. It kind of felt like, you know, nobody move. You know what I mean? Like, you ever, Are you ever looking at something and you can kind of see it? Like, you know, those like, I don't know if they're puzzles, but those like kind of visual tricks or whatever, and you have to kind of lose focus to see it, you know, like it's a, you have to like see through the blur, if that makes sense. That's kind of how those times felt. Like you don't want to focus, because the moment you focus your vision on those little puzzles or whatever, the moment the image goes away. And that's what it felt like in 2016. That's what it felt like in 2018. The moment I focus, the moment the focus comes in, this is all just going to poof, disappear. And this doesn't feel like that at all. And this feels like I'm incredibly focused. I messed up the word incredibly there. But, and that's what I love about the Ocho, one take Jake around here. We just one take it up. You know, no editing, no nothing. You get the full authentic version here. And I don't know if you agree. I'm certainly curious if you do. I would love to hear from you. I'm on Twitter or Instagram at RGOchoa. My DMs are open. So if it's too long for a normal tweet, you can always hit me up that way. Or if email is more your speed, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. Or you can always participate in one of our live shows on our YouTube channel as well. To me, I feel focused. It doesn't feel that way. And I think that's where I'm a little nervous, because those are the recent, you know, moments of success for the Cowboys. 2014, I know you're going to say that was a great, that was 7 years ago. Think about this. I say this a lot. I like to look at time in a weird way. The amount of time that separates you and me right now from the 2014 season is the same amount of time that separated us during that 2014 season from the 2007 Dallas Cowboys. Think about that. That's nuts to me. Like in 2014, if you brought up the 2007 Cowboys, I'd be like, that was like 25 years ago. You know, that feels like forever. Whereas like right now, that 2014 team, yeah, it feels a little bit in the rearview mirror, but it doesn't feel like forever ago the way 2007 felt in 2014. And so 2016, 2018, kind of our baselines here. And this season, and I know, look, they've only won 4 games in a row, but they've almost matched that 5-game winning streak, and they probably will this Sunday against the New England Patriots. And so it is incredibly foreign to me, this kind of feeling. It actually does feel like 2007 almost. That's maybe the closest feeling that I can identify, because that year, and if you've been watching the Cowboys for, you know, that long at least, it felt like they were just a better team every week. It felt like they're just going to crush these people. They're going to crush teams. And it felt like, you know, like nothing could go wrong. You know, like all these things kept going right for them. I remember they had a blocked field goal against the Minnesota Vikings. That was Adrian Peterson's rookie year, to put all this in perspective. There was the Tony Romo snap from Andre Garrard that went over his head against the then St. Louis Rams that he picked up and you know, ran and picked up a nice, you know, relative to where the ball was, a chunk of yards. There was the Marion Barber 2-yard gain against the Patriots. I know the Cowboys lost that game, but, you know, it was just a season where you just kind of felt like every week this team is going to win and I'm going to enjoy it. And that's what this feels like. And I'm not trying to, like, count chickens before they hatch. I'm not trying to feel too optimistic, but I think that the data supports this, and that's why I've kind of fallen into this line of thinking. And I'm here now. The, you know, we're a few days away from the Cowboys being on a break. Obviously, their bye is next week after the New England Patriots game, and this is kind of, you know, I was on Cowboys Cast on Monday with Bobby, and I loved the discussion we had about what's the most poetic way the Cowboys could go on and win the Super Bowl. And if you didn't listen to that, we dropped that show on Mondays. Bobby does such a great job. But we talked about, you know, if they beat the Green Bay Packers in the wild, or the divisional round, excuse me. I think we said the wild card round would be the Los Angeles Rams, the team that, you know, they've had a little bit of history with. So the Cowboys would beat the Rams, kind of take care of Sean McVay, beat the Packers in the divisional round, the same round where they've met up with them. It'd be great to kind of vanquish them, then play the Buccaneers in the NFC title game in Tampa. Dak told Tom Brady, you know, we'll see you again, take care of them, and then go, you know, into the Super Bowl and beat the Buffalo Bills, right? That would kind of, if you're asking me like the sweetest way you can draw this line, that might be it. And, you know, having, you know, if we're pulling the beginning of the line all the way back here to mid-October, I think beating the Patriots is one of those things, you know, and that's kind of why I feel this emotion this particular week. And I know that the Patriots aren't who they've been. I know that obviously Tom Brady's not there. By the way, Tom Brady plays tonight. We're all rooting for the Bucks. I don't care if you're this cocky in the Cowboys. We want the Bucks to win. But it's still Bill Belichick. It's still the Patriots. And it's still, you know, the Cowboys have not beaten this team. I talk about the distance of time and measurement and whatever. The Cowboys have not beaten this team since 1996. All right. They've never beaten the Bill Belichick-led Patriots. And this isn't them. You know, this is this is, you know, Darth Vader if he didn't have a lightsaber and didn't have the Force. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different thing. And so, but it would, I think, be a big boost of confidence, right? Like, it would feel like this checking of the box, right? Like, we have to do this. We haven't done this in a long time. So however hollow it might feel, and something I equated it to earlier in the week was, it was kind of like in 2016 when the Cowboys beat the Ravens. Now, I don't know how long you've been watching Cowboys football, but that was literally the first time that the Dallas Cowboys ever defeated the Baltimore Ravens, was in 2016. Ravens have been responsible for some heartbreaking losses for the Cowboys, including the final game at Texas Stadium. And so that's why I feel this way, to kind of, you know, get you to where I, how I got here. But I mentioned the data, and something I write every week with the help of Aiden Davis, who does such a great job for us at Blogging the Boys, analyzing things and creating graphics that are such a great visual representation of different ideas. Every week, Aiden and I look at the Cowboys' remaining schedule from an EPA basis. And I talked about this last week. And if you don't know what that means, basically, we're looking at how many points the Cowboys should ultimately be able to generate on a per-play basis. And that's a really microscopic way to look at it. I realize that. And how many points they should be able to generate on a per-play basis on defense as well. You obviously want to generate negative points on defense because, you know, if you're doing that, that means you're hurting the opposing offense, which is the goal of defense. Now, if you are not on bloggingtheboys.com right this second, whenever you get a moment, you might be driving or at the gym or whatever, on the treadmill, something like that. Whenever you get a chance, please do go read this article. And more than anything, please look at this graph. And if you're looking at this graph, which is a tool, it'd be nice if you were looking at it while you were listening to this, if I'm being honest with you. But if you're looking at this graph, the Cowboys, from an offensive standpoint, and this was true last week. So let me back up. Entering last week, it became incredibly obvious that the Dallas Cowboys offense was going to have an advantage from an EPA perspective in every single game this season. Every single one. Every single game, the Dallas Cowboys offense is, to kind of water this jargon down, is favored against the defense that they will be going up against. That is an incredible thing. And that alone, I think, is enough to believe in this team. But that alone is kind of where we've been before as Cowboys fans, right? Like, we've been this team that's had this great offense in 2018 and 2016, even 2014, you know, and we've just kind of said, man, if the defense can hold on, if the defense can get after a one-legged Aaron Rodgers, you know, at Lambeau Field in the 2014 divisional round with his calf issue, you know, how can they not do that, right? And that's where things are different here. But before we get to defense, on the offensive side of things, the Cowboys offense will have an advantage, again, in every single game. There's not a defense that they're going to face that is going to remotely challenge them, which is nuts. I mean, you know, the Giants were one of the most advantageous situations the Cowboys were entering, you know, when it comes to EPA per play at the time of playing them, and they obviously put up a lot of points on them. The Patriots are a little bit better than the Giants in this sense, but still, the Cowboys have a massive advantage. The Cowboys, the when they play the Chiefs, like, I know there's a lot of people and probably, like, network, you know, stuff that's looking forward to the Cowboys-Chiefs game. It's going to be awesome, I mean, to be fair. But the Chiefs have the top offense in the NFL in terms of DVOA, Football Outsiders DVOA. They have the worst defense in the NFL when it comes to defensive DVOA, which is why that is just an enormous advantage for the Cowboys in this game, because the Chiefs can score with anybody, but, you know, the Cowboys' defense is going to show up and make a difference. And so I know I'm all over the place here, but there's reason to believe is what I'm saying. There's reason to start having these, like, fantasies of, like, okay, let's check off the box, let's get there. And the reason isn't the offense. I mean, look, I love offense. I love seeing all the touchdowns. It's awesome. 40 burgers and all that jazz. But the reason is the defense. You know, we've said this for years, and I've said points like this already, but we have said, the sentence we have said 1,000 times, whether you were talking to your friend or your family member or somebody at the Cowboys Pro Shop, you know, or somebody on Twitter or whatever, we have all said some version of this. Man, if the Cowboys defense could just be average, right? We've all said that. We've all said, like, that exact idea. This offense is so good. Can you imagine if this defense is just average? You know, if this defense is just the middle of the road, like, don't even be middle. Be like the 18th best defense, right? Like, if the Cowboys had that defense, you know, obviously if you had the best defense in the NFL, you know, you got a lot of chance for success. That's what, look at the Buffalo Bills. I mean, right now, that defense, that offense is still great. I'm still a believer, but that defense is what's carrying that team. And I think the Cowboys are kind of right now the mirror image of the Bills, where their offense is clearly the more elite thing, and the defense has been playing well, kind of like the Bills' offense, you know, but it's still gettable, right? Like, we've seen some big plays against the Cowboys' defense. But the point here is the Cowboys' defense has an advantage from an EPA perspective in a majority of the remaining games. In a majority. Think about that. Like that is difficult to fathom because, I mean, look, the Cowboys defense, here are the games the Cowboys should have an advantage in from measuring their defense in terms of EPA per play allowed versus the EPA per play of the opposing offense. Cowboys defense should have the edge, so to speak, again, to water it down, against the New England Patriots, against the Minnesota Vikings. Those are the next two games of the season for the Cowboys. Currently, the Denver Broncos' offensive EPA per play is a little bit more impressive. I think that's still inflated. It's clearly still inflated by the first three games of the season. Denver's lost two games in a row. It's very possible that Denver dips below the threshold that we're kind of looking at things from, and that they also are a game that the Cowboys have an advantage on, or an advantage in defensively. Cowboys also have an advantage against the Atlanta Falcons. That's three out of their next four games. Obviously, the Cowboys won't have an advantage defensively against the Kansas City Chiefs, but the next week against the Las Vegas Raiders, they will, and they will barely currently not have an advantage against the New Orleans Saints. But again, like the Broncos, we could see, you know, their current EPA per play offensively dip just because they've kind of, I know they had a great game last week, relatively speaking, against Washington, but New Orleans is a weird team, is my point. To finish the season, Cowboys will have an advantage against the offenses of Washington, not against New York, but that's just a slight little push if you're looking at the graphic. They play Washington twice in 3 weeks, obviously. Arizona is going to be a tough matchup. There's no doubt about that. And then against Philadelphia as well. So, I mean, they have the only games that are remaining. Keep in mind, there are now 12 currently games remaining for the Dallas Cowboys. The only offenses that figure to be a threat or challenging to them defensively are the Denver Broncos, who, like we said, maybe will regress, the Chiefs, which are not going to regress, right? Like, that's obvious. The New Orleans Saints, which very well could regress, the New York Giants, which could regress a little bit, and the Arizona Cardinals. That's it. Those are the only ones. Like, those are the only, I know I've watered it down in several ways. Those are the only, like, hard games remaining for the Cowboys defense, so to speak. And even if you, the most difficult ones, like the, when we're talking hard, the Broncos, Saints, and Giants games are like barely hard. Like they barely meet the definition to count them as hard in this particular capacity. But the Chiefs and Cardinals games are going to be very difficult. There's no doubt about that. But I think it's so important. Like that's where the wheels of optimism continue to turn, because if you told me the Cowboys had to lose those two games, if you told me that right now, I wouldn't be upset at all. And I know you're thinking like, RJ, you're crazy. I want to win that game. I got a cousin who's a Chiefs fan, you know, whatever. I got a coworker who's a Cardinals fan. I want to be able to talk that crap. I want you to be able to talk that crap too. But think about this. The Chiefs game, if the Cowboys have to lose a game anytime ever, lose to an AFC team. That's who I want you to lose to. Lose to an AFC team. So I know it would be fun if the Cowboys beat the Chiefs, and we'd have a lot of fun with it on Twitter and social media, and we talk a lot of crap. And it's the week before Thanksgiving, so you know it would make seeing your family a little bit more enjoyable. But if they have to lose a game, that's a good one to lose, right? And then what's more, the Cardinals game, if they lose that game, and you know it, this depends on how optimistic you are about the Cowboys, certainly, but that's week 17 and the new week 17, which is the penultimate week of the regular season, not the final week. It is very possible. I think some would even argue enormously likely that that game will hold very little significance for the Cowboys in terms of certainly their position as the leader of the NFC East, potentially as the, you know, in terms of overall seeding. Now, maybe you believe that, you know, Arizona is going to be in the mix if they win the NFC West, obviously. And right now, it certainly looks like a two-team race between them and the Los Angeles Rams. But maybe that's the difference, right? Like, maybe that game defines who's the one seed or the two seed, who's the two seed and the three seed. And if it is one and two, you know, that's there's a lot of consequence there, obviously, because, you know, somebody's going to get that first round bye. There's only one of those, et cetera. But my whole point here, And please do go read the article, is that you are likely, like me, starting to feel very confident. And I want you to know that it is fair. It's not flash in the pan. It's not silly. And some of it does have to do with the fact that there's, you know, a not so intimidating schedule awaiting the Cowboys over the rest of the season, but that's their schedule. That's not changing. Like, you know, like none of the factors are changing, and we're deep enough into the season at this time where this data that we're talking about, EPA per play and other things, DVOA, they're a lot more sound and substantial because these are who these teams are going to be, or this is who these teams are going to be, right? We're 5 weeks and we have more than enough of a sample size to draw legitimate conclusions and data points and so on and so forth. So this was a good discussion. I had a lot of fun kind of just fleshing this idea out with you. I hope you did too. Like I said, you can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at RJOchoa. Email me rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. Later on today, you got a new episode of Riled Up with Tom Ryle and Roy White. Tomorrow, you get the daily, obviously, Dallas Cowboys Roundup. Tony Catalino will be here tomorrow. Girls Talking Boys with Kelsey Charles and Megan Murray. On Saturday, you get Cowboys Oil with Mauricio Rodriguez. And then on Sunday, the Jersey Boys get things started. And you'll hear from me after the Cowboys get to 5-1 by beating the Patriots on our live post-game show that you can watch on our YouTube channel. Of course, do me a massive favor. Have the best Thursday of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. Thank you, Bear. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.